WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
Which led millions to Christ. And And those two gifts come direct from Jesus himself. Read Romans 5, 17 through 18. Psalm 65, 4 through 5. Blessed are those you choose and bring nearer to live in your court. We are filled with good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness. God's calling a people through righteous life and seed of Reverend Billy Graham, the seed of righteousness that he deposited all of his life. He's calling forth a people from those seeds, for a people of righteousness, so that he can bring forth his awesome deeds of righteousness, just as he did through the servant. Before the Lord judged Sodom and Gomorrah, he appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre. This was the visitation of his covenant with Abraham and Sarah, setting the time of Isaac's birth. However, the visitation was twofold. After eating with Abraham and sealing the birth of Isaac on Abraham and Sarah, the Lord and three angels were leaving for Sodom. The Lord came and three angels came with him. And the word says that Abraham walked with him part of the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Here God shares his intent with his covenant friend. I have a friend I haven't seen or heard of for a long time. He's this Isaac Jameson, tall man. And he can be seen once all would be all good, I'll be on the floor. And he came to Eastgate for a little church. The Lord spoke to me one time that Isaac Jameson was his friend. Abraham was God's friend. You know, if I had anything else, I sure would like to be counted as a friend of God. Amen. But because he was his friend, the Lord says, I'm going to share with you what I'm going to do. And in that relationship, Abraham has dominion, and he has the power of intercession and the power to plead with God. The Lord says, because Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They will keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Abraham, as the Lord speaking to Abraham, because the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done as wickedly as the outcry of it, which has come to me, is not, I will know. Abraham, of course, you know the story. Upon learning its fate, interceded for the family Lot. And hence that famous bargaining conversation that he had with God. God changed from 50 to 45, 30 to 20, to 10 righteous men in Sodom. Not even 10 righteous could be found in Solomon's gates. In that agreement, God gave Abraham, and I've got a hold of this, I've got a hold of two revelations, and I'll give you the other one to ask where I can quote her in this. I'm sure it's somebody else has this revelation, but I got a hold of these revelations while I was preparing this. When God made that agreement with Abraham, he established an agreement seal with Abraham. And once God establishes an agreement on earth, that agreement stands to eternity. It doesn't change until the seal is broken or open. It cannot be disestablished when God establishes something. And today, because of this agreement that God made with Abraham, and Abraham bargained with God in this bargaining, today, if the Lord finds 10 righteous men in a city or a nation, he will not destroy it because of his agreement and intercession with his friend Abraham. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
never change that principle. Sodom was so corrupt in homosexuality that the two daughters of Lot, who had married men of Sodom, were still virgins. They married homosexual men. We know one righteous man of the United States who's been taken to heaven. I ask myself, when I heard of his death, Lord, how many righteous are there on the earth? The hunt for men of righteousness is certain in certain areas of the world may not yield better numbers today than they did in Abraham's day. And the Lord still visits. He visits nations and he visits cities. And if the outcry of that nation, if there is an outcry coming to him from that nation, he will visit it and he will bring judgment, just as he did. Nothing changes. God's ways do not change. The difference between salvation and decimation always turn on the presence or absence of righteousness. We are righteous, we know this, by the gift of righteousness and through faith and righteousness of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? So if you and I know that we are righteous, not because of what we've ever done or not done, but because God says we're righteous, because Jesus Christ is righteous, and we stand under his righteous blood when he looks at us, but we receive that by faith.
Amen.
By faith, we know we are righteous in the eyes of God, because he's not looking at us, he's looking at the blood of Jesus. But Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? And that means that those who walk in faith, righteousness, may not, are the only ones who will be righteous. If faith is not on the earth, then there is no righteousness. Saying that. Elijah said he was the last man standing for God. God revealed he had special cadres of souls who lived holy and righteous lives, and he knew the address of each one of them. God sent to Abraham, to Elijah, I'm sorry, I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed a knee to Baal. At this hour, there are thousands of just men and women who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And I am standing in a group of them.
Amen.
We are the remnant.
Yeah.
Those who have been torn from society, you probably got torn from society and social standards by God, and you don't care anymore.
Yes, amen.
You gave up your social standing when you decided to go home with God.
Yes.
Your flesh has been ripped from you, whether you wanted it to be or not. You've been cut from the throes of religion.
Come on.
Yes.
Severed from mediocrity of apostasy and progressive religion.
All right.
I'm amongst that crowd.
Amen.
We're considered odd by the world. What's that strange little bunch of people moving around here and there and people preaching and singing and praising God? They cannot understand us because we are of another spirit.
All right.
We are known by the Spirit, even though we may be unknown to men. And once you decide to follow Jesus, it's a lonely walk. It will always be a lonely walk because you will leave behind family members, you will leave behind friends,
Amen.
Those of you who supported you when you were popular or you were on top of the mountain or you were a crowd pleaser or whatever it is you did that keeps the crowd happy. And they will abandon you and you will have to go alone.
Amen.
You will have to go alone.
Yes.
Every time he takes you forward.
Yes.
But when you get where he's taking you to, there will be those who will come up around you who have already been on the mountain where he's bringing you.
Amen.
That's right. Good message.
Pockets of spiritual power are hidden to the world and strategically scattered about the globe. We seek only the Father's will, and the Father knows us well. We're Forbid from serving only God and dedicated to be used exclusively by the Lord and to be led by the Holy Spirit. There is no other life on earth worth living. God 7,000 in every generation form a corporate body. And that may not be a literal number, but it's a metaphorical number of God's fullness of a number. These are an army of battlers, a congregation of light, and a reservoir of spiritual understanding in a world of darkness and ignorance. These are repositories of power in an exhausted generation. And you see it on your screens as we see a whole area in Parkland totally in disarray over this attack on our children. I've been praying for the area that a church will come forward and spiritually set this into order.
Yes.
But it seems right now the spirit of the Antichrist has the upper hand. These who are sold out to God, these 7,000, their lives are the equivalent of Noah and Lot in Peter's writings. They're the ones who are the owners of holiness and righteousness amid a world having lost all sense of these qualities. We live a separate, I live a separated world, but some of you I know you work and you're out amongst all of the world that goes on and all the sins of the world. But I live a separated life. And I can even go into churches. And these are people who love the Lord. They're genuine. They love the Lord. They're seeking the Lord. But some of the things they say is, I'm lying. You know, but see, they have not separated themselves from the world yet.
Yeah.
And I would go minister to a prostitute, an alcoholic, a drug dealer, the poorest of the poor. I mean, I'm not like that. But I'm just saying, once you've been separated, you get kind of shocked sometimes when you hear them, the things that come out of people's mouths. Well, that's why we get so shocked by our media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they get on with it. Now, let's talk about Noah and Lot. Who would have imagined their linkage? But Simon, under the guidance of the Spirit of God, and I confirm that, because everything that Peter wrote, he wrote it under the power of God, because the man was illiterate. He didn't know anything. The man wrote awesome, genius things that only God could know. But Peter placed them together as examples of righteousness dwelling in worlds gone mad. Noah's world had gone mad, and Lot's world had gone mad. So what I'm saying to you today is much of that world out there has gone mad. And we see it on our television screens. We see that it has gone mad. In their societies, they were the only ones in step with God. Each was dubbed righteous. Living in places sold out to unrighteousness. So just because your best friend, your neighbor, your wife, your family, your children choose to live in unrighteousness, you can still walk in righteousness.
Amen.
Are they going to be mad at you and fuss at you and say mean things to you and scorn you and mock you? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you would rather have that relationship with God have their approval, because I can promise you on the first bad day, they're going to come to you to pray for them.
Mm-hmm. True.
Okay. Still from my earthly vantage point here, Lot's righteousness is not visible to my understanding. Just so you know, I read this story again last night and I'm like, oh, Jesus. But thank goodness, by faith, we do not lean on our own understanding. The issue must not be, why did God call them righteous? What did they possess that made them righteous? You've seen people in the world that had God's favor on them. There was something in their personality that caused God to Okay, let me get back. Okay, righteous Noah is discussed in Hebrews. And I get it about Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly through his faith and obedience to God. His righteousness brought in the flood. Hebrews 11, 6 through 7. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have people in this church who diligently seek God.
Yes.
You seek God every day. You're seeking God about every area of your life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're seeking him for him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Word of God says that it's an absolute fact. If you seek God diligently, he will reward you.
Yes. Amen.
By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear.
Amen.
Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith.
Amen.
When he obeyed God and believed God by faith, and he began to build the ark, his righteousness condemned the world.
Amen.
Now, a righteous man just went to heaven. By his righteous seed, I'm speaking to you now, I don't have this in my notes. By his righteous seed of his life, what are two things will happen? His righteousness will condemn the world of its wickedness, or it will bring the righteousness into the grace of people.
Say that again.
Yeah, please.
Okay. A righteous man just went to heaven. A powerful righteous man. Okay, and then I had a word, and I've confirmed that there'll be a shift in the heavenlies, but that's, you know, we expect that when God takes that word of his gentleness, especially when I'm talking. Okay, a righteous man just completed his mission and time on earth. All of his life, he planted righteous seed. Now, just as the righteousness of Noah condemned the world, all of those righteous seed of that righteous man will either condemn those who are following after the devil, or it will bring a greater glory to those who are following after. Those righteous seed, just like it did with Noah. Those righteous seed will produce what God intended it to produce. Why God chose a man.
Yes.
He put his righteousness on the man. He put his gift of salvation on the man to bring in all those souls. And those righteous seed will either bring forth condemnation on the world, or it will bring forth salvation.
Amen.
Okay. Well, how excited about what you got so pretty, doll? Okay. Yeah. All right. 1 Peter 3:18-22. Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now y'all need to listen to this. Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine God, long-suffering, waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Peter joined together Noah and Lot. 2 Peter 2:4-13. A little long scripture, but pay you to listen to it. If God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, one of eight people, a creature of righteousness, bringing in the flood, the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly and live in righteous law. Okay. Peter declares it. By the Spirit of God, he declares what righteous. Who was vexed by the filthy conduct of the wicked? For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeking and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Okay. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. That would be you. So we have to have faith to know that God not only has given us the gift of righteousness, but he can also deliver us from our temptation. Those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. Have you seen those who are posting their big life and deleted them? Who came against Delaware?
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah.
They he wasn't religious as they were. They had gifts that, you know, because he didn't preach on the gifts of the Spirit, because he didn't.
Really?
They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them not before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages. Be careful that you set your experience with the Lord above another man. You don't know how God sees in him.
That's right.
Or her. And you don't know what God sees in them.
Amen.
See, look, I don't know. I read lots several times, and I'm like, oh. You know, I just can't get into righteousness and tell that story. But God declared him righteous.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, keep your mouth shut. The righteous of the Lord act as the basis for judgment to those who refuse to emulate their example. Two kinds of people are on the earth: those who follow the examples of righteousness and those who refuse. Perhaps the reason why it was called righteous, now this is Carolyn thinking, I'm writing it down, is because he was more righteous than anyone in Solomon. You know, I'm just throwing stuff out there. But I'm writing this, you know, I'm trying to get in, you know. But who am I to judge as unclean what God has called clean?
Amen. Yes.
And righteous.
Amen.
Perhaps because he obeyed and went to Zoar, his obedience was accounted as righteousness. Regardless, God deemed him righteous. Jesus deemed him righteous in Luke 17:26-31. Carolyn Sisson declares Lot righteous. Just keeping myself straight with God. Noah chose to hear and believe God in a world that neither heard nor regarded him. Therefore, becoming the agent of righteous condemnation. Sin has built-in judgment. If you sin, you're going to reap the fruit of that sin.
Amen.
And God will forgive you. Okay? You're forgiven. But you're going to reap the fruit of that.
Amen.
And righteousness has built in justice. Noah became by his own faith an heir of righteousness. The building of the ark did not make him an heir. Faith made him righteous. When Noah and his family acting in righteousness, without Noah and his family, Those who perish will not have seen the crucified Lord of glory when he triumphed over death. Those condemned ones, you know, that he went down into hell, and those who were in the times of Noah, I just read the scripture. Those condemned ones saw the righteousness of God in the person of Jesus Christ. It's because of righteous Noah. Noah stood at the man of time of redemption. He was the righteous reason for judgment. Jesus is the righteous reason for salvation. So let's think about this again, okay? The Lord chose by his own will and purpose to make a man righteous, and he has no right to be righteous, and I'm sure all of sin has fallen short of the glory of God, so I'm not saying that Little Graham did not sin. But overall, he did it as a righteous man. Okay, if he set him as an example of righteousness, then when God would take him home, there would be a move of righteousness on the earth. Or a move of judgment.
Amen.
I'm just thinking out loud here. because in it, he was the righteous reason for judgment. Okay, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Jesus talking, Luke 17:26-31. Now I'm telling you, this is all the way through the Bible. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. This thing, this time, with Billy Graham going to heaven, and him being a righteous man, I asked God, what did he have to say about Billy Graham? He said he's a righteous man. Mm-hmm. I asked God, what should I say about Billy Graham? He's a righteous man. So, it's a serious time. Lot was vexed by the goings all around him. He found himself in a homosexual, bisexual city where illicit sex was the character of the city. Illicit sex is on your television screens every day. Mm-hmm. Illicit sex is on your movies. Mm-hmm. Illicit sex are in many homes, and children are being exposed to it. Mm-hmm. Lot's righteousness. Now I want you to hear, this is my second revelation that I got while I was putting this together. Lot's righteousness extended to his sons-in-laws. You can read it in there. But in the end, now they were homosexuals. Their own will prevailed. And he left them, and he left Sodom with his two daughters. Well, he took his wife with him, but she turned around and turned Saul. In Genesis 19:14, it says his sons-in-laws mocked him. Well, I saw this. This again was taken as a principle established by God. He established it as a principle here. The blessing of our righteousness extends to our immediate family, including the in-laws.
Amen.
Your righteousness. I don't care what your son-in-law and daughter-in-law do. Your righteousness is coming. But they can go their own way. Okay, get confidence. I'm just so beautiful. The blessing of our righteousness. Okay. Now, according to my idea of righteousness, I just told you what the daughters did. They were not righteous. But they grew up in an unrighteous area.
Yeah.
It's all made with unrighteousness. However, they were saved from the destruction of Sodom. God actually took them by the hand. Said the word about it. The angels are the columns of the end. There's God and three angels. Took them by the hand when they were trying to kind of maybe stay behind a little bit when the sons of Lot. He took them by the hand, the daughters and Lot, and he led them out of Sodom. Mm-hmm. By the hand.
Yes.
In the end, each one of us must receive the righteousness of Christ for salvation for ourselves. Yet, here the Lord established the principle of your household.
Yes.
He literally took them by the hand and led them out of Sodom. Wherever regardless of what in-laws marry into your family, until they turn and run away from your family, okay, as these in-laws did, as if they had gone with Lot, they would have been saved because of Lot's righteousness and because God declared Lot righteous. Millions.
Yeah.
He had a son who was a prophet. John is a prophet, and you're watching him, and I've had it right between the nose of Johnny preaching.
Yeah.
And Bill Graham was not a prophet. He was a righteous man who was given the gift of salvation to bring in.
Without casting out devils, without laying hands on the sick, without speaking in tongues, he still saved me. So I need a connection. I need exactly what you're saying. God used him in the way that God wanted to use him. So it has nothing to do with what anybody else thinks that he didn't preach or that he should have preached. He preached what God anointed him to preach, which was salvation and live right.
Amen.
Amen. I got it.
This is a vision, Kathy. I don't know if she posted this on. Not, but she sent me a text. This is a vision given to Kathy Walters 2 years ago. Someone had died that week, a well-known Christian leader, and I was driving with some friends in New Zealand. We were talking about it. One person mentioned Billy Graham. I asked the Lord about Billy Graham. I was taken into a room. Billy Graham was laying in bed, and he seemed to be asleep. Then I saw Jesus appear in the doorway. He walked over to Billy and touched his hand, then held up a timepiece. He touched Billy's arm and said, "It's time to go." There were angels there too. The next thing I saw was Billy Graham entering into what looked like a huge heavenly stadium where there were thousands and thousands of people. As he entered, I heard cheering and cheering. It was louder than any packed stadium I've ever heard. They were waiting, and they were all the thousands who had been saved through Billy Graham's
ministry. Amen.
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 Remember when we were studying the book about my time in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Sickman saw when he was taken into heaven, he saw stadiums where Elijah was preaching. He saw stadiums where Abraham was preaching. He saw stadiums where Isaiah was preaching.
Yes.
Guess who's going to have a stadium?
Amen.
And then I just felt like the scripture just blessed me and wrapped everything up. Daniel 4:17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. And the demand by the word of the holy ones, and that would be the saints and righteous ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and sets up over it